and welcome to the STLE Compass, brought to you by the Society of Tribologists and Lubrication Engineers. The STLE Compass is your convenient and reliable resource for the latest developments in the tribology community. I'm Kara Lamar, Education Manager at STLE, and in today's episode, we'll take a look at the aerospace field. Now, aerospace covers both aircraft and spacecraft. Aerospace tribology is characterized by extreme environments, and this could include extreme temperatures ranging from cryogenic to ultra-high temperatures, extreme rotating speeds and contact stresses, and operation in extreme environments like vacuum or liquid oxygen. These extreme environments almost always require high-tech solutions. Man-rated aircraft systems and space applications with extended mission life, understandably, require extremely high reliability. All these challenges have put aerospace tribology on the leading edge, and a lot has been learned since the early days of air and spacecraft. Our interviewee today is Vern Wedevin, the president of Wedevin Associates, Inc., located in Edgemont, Pennsylvania. Wedevin Associates is a small business devoted to tribology research and development. Since 1987, Vern and his associates have developed specialized tribology test machines and test methods that link fundamental principles of tribology to service applications. Wedevin Associates' machine, or WAM technology, is providing tribology research capability for major bearing companies, military laboratories, and research institutes. He is involved in major research projects and consulting that serve aerospace and other industries. Vern received his undergraduate degree from Calvin College, his mechanical engineering degree from the University of Michigan, and a PhD from Imperial College in London. His previous employment includes NASA Glenn Research Center, NASA headquarters, and SKF America. He is the author of over 60 technical papers in the area of tribology, and he has authored chapters in 3 books and holds 3 patents. He is the recipient of several awards, including the Arch T. Colwell Cooperative Engineering Medal for contributions to the SAE Propulsion Lubricants Committee, and several STLE awards, including the Walter D. Hodson Award, the Captain Alfred E. Hunt Award, and finally, the STLE International Award for Outstanding Contributions in Tribology. So, Vern, welcome to the STLE Compass.
Thank you.
So first, I want to just get a feel for how you started out in the industry. How did you kind of find aerospace?
This is a very interesting story. I found aerospace through tribology, and I was introduced to tribology from a favorite professor I had at the University of Michigan. His name is Ken Ludema, and I attended his very first class in tribology. It wasn't called tribology at that time. And it turned out to be a fascinating professor and a fascinating topic. And then that led to graduate work under Professor Alistair Cameron at Imperial College in London. And following graduate work, I accepted a job at NASA in Cleveland, Ohio. It's called NASA Lewis at that time. It's now called NASA Glenn. And also worked at NASA headquarters in Washington, D.C., advocating new programs in aeronautics. But, you know, I started NASA, it's very interesting, I started NASA the week of the Apollo 13 event. And this was a really exciting time to begin working at NASA. A lot of things were happening. The space program was really taking off, and it was transitioning from the Apollo program to the space shuttle program. Most of my work has been in aeronautics, specifically aeropropulsion, which is really jet engine technology.
Okay. So going back to, you touched on, what was tribology called before when you started taking that class?
Well, the tribology came about from David Tabor in England, and that was about in the 70s, perhaps. And it was just called lubrication and wear, generally. Lubrication and lubrication and wear.
As far as the Apollo 13, did you have any kind of relation with that work or anything that impacted you?
No, I didn't. Other than that, there were some very interesting briefings following that event that I attended at NASA Lewis at that time.
What kind of things can you tell us about the industry, and what kinds of things do tribology or lubrication engineers work on in relation to aerospace or aeronautics?
You know, whether it's aircraft or spacecraft, we're always dealing with mechanical systems. Generally with high-speed rotating parts, sliding parts, and vibrating parts. So The tribologist is mostly involved with mechanical systems and connected with mechanical engineering and mechanical engineering design. I like to think of it in terms of major mechanical systems, such as jet engines and perhaps helicopter transmissions and rocket engines. On the aeropropulsion side, which includes jet engine, this deals with high-speed rotor systems involving bearings, gears, and lubricating oils. And the area of space propulsion, including rocket engine, this deals with high-speed bearings also and gears, but in a cryogenic fluid, generally liquid oxygen or liquid hydrogen. And this is associated with turbine-driven pumps. They're called turbo pumps that pump the fuel and the oxidizer into a rocket engine. Turbo pumps, it turns out, to be the most challenging mechanical system in a rocket engine. Then there are auxiliary systems under aeropropulsion and space propulsion. They deal with actuators to move parts and other positioning devices. There may be pivots, valves, and just a multitude of vibrating contacts. Sometimes the vibrating contacts are driven by the acoustic energy from the propulsion exhaust system.
Okay, so we got to feel a little bit so far, but can you just detail what's the difference between aeronautical engineering and astronautical engineering?
When you think of aeronautics, we're dealing with aircraft that flies within the Earth's atmosphere. So for the propulsion system, we're dealing with what we call air-breathing engines or jet engines. Astronautics deals with spacecraft that go beyond Earth's atmosphere, and to do that for the propulsion system, they have to carry the oxygen or the oxidizer as part of the spacecraft. There are some what we call hybrid vehicles. I think the space shuttle is one, you know, that flies within Earth's atmosphere, but also into outer space. The spy plane called the SR-71, which is a unique aircraft, very, very high speed, that could operate on the very outer edges of the Earth's atmosphere. The engineering between the two differs by the environment that the mechanical system must operate in. So the operation in outer space makes it difficult and perhaps sometimes impossible to apply conventional oil lubrication systems.
Okay. So what are some of the foundational concepts that we might need to know in order to talk about aerospace?
Perhaps I can answer this from the point of view of aeropropulsion, which I'm most familiar with, and to some degree space propulsion, that is rocket engines and jet engines. Both of them deal with very high-speed rotors that are supported by bearings, or there's power transmitted through gears and through shafts. And the foundational concepts are associated with some real challenges. One is what I call the high temperature range. There's an enormous temperature range that materials have to operate in, that lubricants and lubrication systems have to operate in. So those mechanisms are really stretched beyond their usual limits. Associated with that is the notion of power density. So propulsion systems, it's all about high power and low weight. And to do that, the way they do that is to drive up speeds, rotating speeds, and to drive up temperatures to make the system more efficient. And all of that, in doing that, pushes what we call performance limits. And so the engineer has to understand what the performance limits are and how far can you push speeds, can you push temperatures without losing the safety margins. So the engineer finds himself assessing risk, you know, where is that margin, how much risk do you have by pushing the technology as far as you can, but yet still be safe. And then that folds into this whole notion of the demand for testing, and in our particular case, smart tribology testing. So as new systems are developed, and which takes a long period of time, you have to assure yourself through various stages of development that everything you've designed and you and the decisions you've made are proper decisions and will ultimately work out.
So what are you working on now as far as projects or research or anything like that?
The business here at Wedevin Associates is really derived from the unique testing and tribology testing machines and test methods that we have developed. We have what's called WAM technology, it stands for Wedevin Associates Machine, and it's a unique capability which provides a simulation of high-speed bearings and gears and lubrication systems. And with this capability, it's been used to develop gas turbine engine oils. And the test methods with these machines are used under an SAE international specification called AS5780. And we use these test methods to qualify jet engine oils for the military and commercial market. Essentially, all oils flying in jet engines today in the Western world have been evaluated through these test methods. We also recently finished a project with the U.S. Air Force on the next generation jet engine oil. This was a joint effort with the military, plus the major oil companies and the engine manufacturers to develop the next generation jet engine oils, which would work with advanced bearing and gear materials. So these oils will be coming out. They'll probably be introduced to the military first and then perhaps spin off into the commercial market. We also are able to measure extremely thin oil films using a technique we call optical interferometry. And with this method, we've done a number of projects on oil lubricated systems. We're currently working on one now for NASA dealing with the International Space Station and the control momentum gyroscopes that are lubricated with very special oils. A lot of work we do is with advanced bearing and gear materials and coatings, sometimes we call it engineered surfaces, mostly for aerospace. And a lot of this has to do with supporting the next generation fuel-efficient engines. We also manufacture and sell our WAM machines. These machines have been provided to some of the major bearing companies and the U.S. military. There's a U.S. Army contract. We currently have a small business contract dealing with the development of a new test machine for micro-pitting, or what we call high-cycle rolling contact fatigue. And then, I guess finally, you know, we also do consulting and education and training. Believe it or not, there's a new generation of aerospace engineers that are coming aboard. And even in this, you know, restricted market today, there's somewhat of a hiring binge in certain sectors of aerospace.
Like which sectors?
Mostly aeropropulsion, again, jet engines. With the new generation of jet engines that are coming out, that will be hitting the commercial market in the next few years.
So we'll look for that. So what's, I guess you can kind of surmise what the impact would be of the projects, but what would you say would be the impact?
Yeah, I think if you look at that question, the impact, and you think about that for a moment, just to step back a moment, over 20 years, we've developed an approach to testing. We call that systematic tribology. And it's all about developing meaningful tests that link the tribology world with the engineering design world. And this capability, this systematic tribology approach, really has made a big impact. One of which is what I mentioned before, that we use this approach to develop the next generation jet engine oil. And at the same time, we use this approach to develop that next generation jet engine oil within the environment of advanced stainless steel bearing and gear materials. And this has been very, very useful. It's allowed us actually to do this in a relatively short period of time and at low cost. All of this supports, most of this supports the next generation fuel-efficient jet engines. That is, with new bearing materials, gear materials, and one new concept that you will hear about is what's called a geared turbofan. This is running the big fan of the front of the engine at a lower speed than the core of the engine, and that makes it much more efficient. But in order to do that, you've got to drive this through a gearbox, a planetary gear system, that again has to be lightweight and have a very small envelope, a very small package to be able to do this and do this efficiently. So we're also dealing with engineered surfaces for these advanced bearings and gear materials. We also, the impact comes about through solving field problems. One of them that I just mentioned before is the International Space Station and a problem with the gyroscopes there that are failing much earlier than they should. So what a lot of things we do is solving problems that suddenly appear in field service. One problem we recently helped with in a significant way was the introduction of some new stainless steel bearing materials, which did not turn out to be as good as was anticipated. And now there are replacement stainless steels, which are doing very, very well. We also have impact through our WAM machines, and this provides a unique capability for those people that are seriously minded about tribology research in various organizations. So the impact has really been, you know, a new way of doing this business, which assures the engineer that what he does will work in application once the company has committed an enormous sum to launch a new product.
You've mentioned some pretty neat projects, but is there any other memorable ones that stand out from your experience?
Yeah, in my many years of tribology projects, perhaps the most unique one and memorable one is associated with the space shuttle main engine. The space shuttle main engine, there are three of them on the space shuttle. Each one has an oxygen turbopump and a hydrogen turbopump. And they're the most complex part of the space shuttle main engine. And, you know, the space shuttle, it's been a 30-year chapter in our lifetime. And the first 15 years of the space shuttle and the space shuttle main engines, the engines and the turbopumps had to be replaced after every flight. And now in the last 15 years, or the last 10 or 15 years, they now work with 10 flights as usually designed with absolutely no problem. But the NASA and its contractors worked on this, the oxygen turbopump in particular, for, you know, a decade, trying to solve the bearing problem, and they were not able to do it. So NASA contracted Pratt & Whitney to develop what we call alternate turbopumps for the space shuttle main engines. And they, too, ran into the same kind of problems. And out of desperation, just before Congress was ready to cancel the whole program after several years of work, out of desperation, we changed the 440C stainless balls and those bearings to a ceramic silicon nitride. And this was sort of unheard of at that time. This was in the mid-90s, and silicon nitride or ceramics were not used in any man-rated flight system at all. And here we were putting it in the space shuttle with the enormous demands of the turbo pumps for speed and stresses and so on. But it worked. And I could understand being involved in the task team with that problem. I could understand very clearly exactly why those bearings were failing, but I could not think of, and we tried many kinds of solutions, and we could not find a solution. But switching to silicon nitride balls absolutely created the solution that was needed. And it wasn't really until after that was done, that we realized the mechanism and why that really worked. So here was a problem that was solved just in the nick of time. And the key here was the tribology mechanisms. So understanding failure mechanisms, understanding lubrication mechanisms and being able to translate those things into design turns out to be very important.
Certainly, and that's the best kind of solution in the nick of time. That's always good. So what are some of the best practices that you've encountered over the years?
If you ask yourself, what can you do to make a difference? Certainly a thing that stands out in my mind through the years is that if the tribology people can link up with OEMs, original equipment manufacturers, and link up with the key engineering and tribology decision-making people, then you can make some real headway. The tribologist and the researcher has to understand the engineering design drivers that the engineers face and the design limitations. And the advice is always stay practical. Always stay practical. It's very important, I've learned, that to understand tribology failure mechanisms. And any time you have a chance to get your hands on hardware and to understand failure analysis and participate in failure analysis, the better you are. All surfaces have a story to tell, and one should learn how to read those surfaces and know what that story is, to know how failure mechanisms and lubrication mechanisms are actually playing themselves out in service. Also, always pursue and understand those lubrication and failure mechanisms. In the design, you design for lubrication mechanisms, and you design around failure mechanisms. And the other thing is just be involved. And I think involvement in STLE and its activities is a very useful thing to do. And finally, never give up on tribology mysteries or challenges. Sometimes it may take years for us to see the light and to find solutions.
And then finally, so what advice would you want to relay from our whole discussion today? What do you want listeners to take away from today's discussion?
Well, I think looking back, tribology really is a very exciting field. When you think of it, here we are, micro-scale tribology phenomenon, micro-scale things really control in an enormous way the impact of macro-scale mechanical systems. So lubrication mechanisms, and particularly the mechanism that we call elastohydrodynamic lubrication, I call this the miracle mechanism. It's amazing. I teach this, and it's amazing when students start to realize what is all involved and how it works together in a remarkable way to make seemingly impossible mechanical systems become possible. The engineering of tribology mechanisms to make aircraft and spacecraft possible is really a very, very satisfying occupation. If you think, back to the launching of the Hubble Space Telescope and all the things that we've learned through that, carried into space by major mechanical systems, the advanced aircraft fuel-efficient engines that are coming out, and, of course, the safety for the flying public. The whole topic is interesting, and it's very useful to mankind.
Thank you, Vern, for joining us today and for your insight.
You're very welcome.
I'm Carol Lamar. For more news, information, and research on aerospace, you can visit our website. Thanks for joining us today. This has been another episode of the STLE Compass, pointing you in the right direction.